I was looking at an old annual from Warren East from a few years ago, and I don't know, it might have been one of my kids' annual. But anyway, I noticed that they asked the high school seniors before when they was graduating, before they graduated, which where that they would like to live more than any other place in the world. And about 75% of them said California. And I guess that kind of shocked me, because I didn't understand why. We was recently talking here about different places to live that were seen to be dangerous places, like New Orleans. They've always had their hurricane problems and flooding, and it's real low ground. And California, that's an earthquake-prone place out there. Many of you through history know about some of their earthquakes and problems, and now they're having all this. And almost everywhere in the United States of America, they got something that's a problem to them. I got to looking on the map, and I thought, well, we're about as well off right here in Kentucky as any place else that I can think of. So I don't know why anybody would want to leave Kentucky. I don't understand Carol Sandys. I just don't get that. I don't know why anybody would want to leave Kentucky. And in Kentucky, I've been over most of it, and I'd rather have Warren County. Every time Beverly and I go someplace and we come back, I tell her, best thing I seen on this trip is that sign said Warren County. And I don't know, I guess I'm just a homebody. And I visited a lot of places. I've been in most of the states. I've been in about 12, 14 foreign countries. Never seen any place that I'd rather be than right here. That is, while I am in this fleshly form. Heaven's going to be better. Heaven's going to be better. But one place I sure want to miss is hell. Now, recently I was in a gospel meeting. I don't remember which one of the places that I was, but I remember one of the older gentlemen in the congregation came up and said, "Brother Evans, I want you to answer a question for me." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Why don't preachers preach on hell anymore?" My first reaction would have been, I thought we do. But on reflection and thinking about it, we don't preach on hell like we used to. Nathan, you remember when you were 15 years old and you was going to Mount Pleasant, and they didn't have a gospel meeting up there, but somebody didn't preach on hell. Sometimes you're in that gospel meeting. We remember right here at Mount Zion, Betty, you was coming here then. When did we ever have a gospel, one of them 2-week gospel meetings that we used to have, that somebody didn't preach on hell here in that meeting? I can remember Brother Lawrence Hazel. How many of you in here are old enough to remember Brother Lawrence Hazel? Several of you. He had a sermon, and the title of this sermon was Hell and Who's Going There? Hell and Who's Going There? He preached that in a meeting, in a revival up at Mount Pleasant. And I remember Uncle L.A. Tony was going to church that night, and they stopped by Joe Webb's store. Everybody remember where Joe Webb's store was? And they said, Monty said, "Grandma said, you better go to church with us tonight. He said, "Well, okay, you got to keep the store open, such and such time." He said, "Well, Lawrence is going to preach on hell, and who's going there?" And when church was over there, over that night, well, they stopped back by there, and he said, "Monty, what did you learn?" He said, "I didn't call them names." He thought he was going to be listening. But, you know, I can recall years ago, many of you younger people don't know this about me, but years and years ago, I used to do a lot of song reading. Congregations would call me, just like they did the preacher, and say, "Well, you need to sing anymore during this meeting."
So I had an opportunity to work with a lot of different preachers, and Mark was one of them. I don't know how many meetings that he and I did together, where he done preaching, I did song with him. And I remember that sermon that he had, and everywhere he went, he preached it on who's going there. And boy, he had it down to a science. He could take the lid off of hell, and you could just smell the smoke. And it was graphic. And if you don't, and as a child, I can remember this, it just make the hair on the back of your head, back of your neck, just stand up. That's how graphic that was. And he didn't say a thing that wasn't in the Bible. He didn't put his own comments on it. He just told it like it was. And I kind of want to do that this morning. This man that I was talking to said, how come preachers don't preach on the devil anymore? And I don't. If we're not, shame on us. Shame on us if we're not preaching on hell, because that's the alternative to heaven, and you don't want to go there. That's not what you want. And I want to tell you some things that the Bible says about hell. For one thing that the Bible says about hell that we ought to know, that everybody needs to know about, is it's a real place. It's real. You heard what Greg read to us this morning out of 16th chapter of Luke. We're going to be using that. And there's so many people don't believe it. We're living in a society now that's different than it was 30, 40 years ago. There's a world of people don't believe in hell. I don't know how that anybody can take this book and read a verse in this book that's got heaven and hell in the very same verse and say, well, I'm going to take that about heaven, but I don't believe that about hell. How do you do that? How do you read this book and the same verse that tells you about heaven tells you about hell? But that's what it is. I saw this poll not long ago that said of the American people, regardless of what religion you are, that the American people, there's 24% of us less that believe in hell than in heaven. Can you imagine that? Same library, same money. But let me tell you a few things that it says about it, and then we're going to get our own list that we're going to talk about here this morning. Here's what the Bible says about it. It says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, and not only is it real, but it calls it hellfire. Hellfire, to a lot of people today, is just that's just a byword. Or it's a cuss word to some people. I hear people say that sometimes. I don't believe people know what they're saying. I heard somebody say it not too long ago, hellfire. And I thought, but if you only knew what you're saying. It's not to be said lightly. It's not to be said as just some passing remark about what somebody says. It's a real place and it's bad. And I can't even remotely tell you how bad that it is. It's also called an everlasting fire. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, it says that it's never quenched. Never quenched. Well, y'all remember when the building burned? What's that, 5 years ago now? Was it 5 years? 5 years last month. And I remember the fire trucks being out here, and I don't know how many of you remember this or not, but didn't they put a swimming pool out here in front and pump water over into the swimming pool, if I remember right? And they sprayed water and sprayed water and sprayed water, and it was just hard to quench. It took them a long time. Seemed to me like, if my memory serves correct, it was several hours before they got this fire put out. And then there wasn't anything left of the building. But they finally did. They finally quenched the fire, but this fire that we're talking about here is never quenched. And also, the Bible has, in Jude chapter 7, calls it eternal. Well, that's the same thing as everlasting. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 calls it chains of darkness. Now, a lot of people look at hell and they'll say, well, how can hell be a dark place if there's all that fire? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Most time we light a candle to chase away the darkness. But the Bible says very, very plainly that it's a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. It's described as flaming fire and everlasting destruction. Revelation 21 and 8 says that it's a lake burning with fire and brimstone. And three verses, three different references in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, chapter 20, and chapter 1, describe it the same way. All of them describe it as a lake. We think of a lake, well, a lake's water, but it's described here as burning. And then it just goes on and on and on. And as I said, on many of those scriptures, it tells us about hell and heaven in the very same verse, or verses connecting to each other, simultaneous verses. But it's a terrible place. And preachers ought to preach on it. They ought to let people know that there is a hell, and it's a place that we don't want to go. And I want to read to you, and Greg's already read some of those verses to you, but this is like a real life situation. It isn't as this has already happened, because we know judgment hasn't happened yet. But it's Jesus telling this story, and it does give us a bird's eye view about hell. And here's what it says. Luke chapter 16, and beginning at the same verse that he started with a while ago. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now that's a lie out here on this earth. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid in his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came fast that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, now the person, you use King James, New King James Version, it says Hades. But in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to us cannot, nor neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, this is the rich man, that thou wilt send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment, described this place of torment. Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father, Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one of them preach. Now that's, we've become familiar with that. Probably since childhood, we've been going to church very long. But I noticed some things in this, and you can get them almost verse by verse, about what you can't find in hell. What's not there? What's not in hell? And the very first one that comes to my mind is that there's no light. And I don't know of anything that's more terrifying. You think about a small child. Most small children, they want a light on in their room at night, even though they're going to be asleep. You ever notice that about a little child? Mama, don't turn that light off. Don't turn that light off. I want a light in here. Well, you're going to be asleep. Well, you need the light. Just don't turn the light. Nobody wants to be in darkness. And if you've ever really been in darkness, the Bible describes hell as a place of outer darkness. The only thing that I can think of about outer darkness as opposed to inner darkness is that it's sure enough dark in outer darkness. Went to Mammoth Cave one time years and years ago.
And I probably have a cow far down underground. Some of you have been there and remember this, but I don't. But anyway, it's all far down underground. You get way back in this cave. And then the guy, he said, everybody turn their lights off. Their flashlights and all this stuff. And he said, turn them lights off. And he said, don't turn them on for 3 full minutes. Well, you know, it's easy to stand here and say, well, 3 minutes, but I'm telling you what, it makes a difference. Because your eyes begin to get adjusted to the dark. You've heard an old saying, you can't see the front of your hand in front of your face. Can't see nothing. It is so dark, and on this tour that I was on, they had some small children, and some of those little children started crying. And they were terrified. They were scared to death. And the adults, they were too comfortable. But he said, don't turn the lights on. Don't turn them on. And everything got real quiet. Kids quit crying and everything. And it just felt like to me, it sort of closed in a place of outer darkness. And you know, somebody tries to offset that by saying, well, if there's fire, there's got to be light. I don't know how God's going to do this. But there's a whole bunch of things that I don't know how God does. I don't know how God could even send his son to this earth. I don't know how he done that. I couldn't do it. For God so loved the world, if you remember that. I don't know how God's going to accomplish this, but I know he's going to do it. Bible says it. I believe the Bible. That's what's going to happen. So it's going to be a place with no light. If you don't like darkness, you ain't going to like heaven. Now, here's another thing that there's not, and that's water. It's one of those things we get used to, and we just think we got it coming, and we take it for granted. But one day last year, they had a break in the water line over here on the hill, and the water company cut the water off, and you go up the sink, turn the faucet on, nothing there. And everybody said, wonder why they didn't tell us. You can't wash clothes. Can't flush a commode. Can't get a drink of water. Can't do nothing. You're just out. It's funny, you know, when electricity goes off, how you are so accustomed to flipping the switch that even though it's dark in the room that you're in, you go into another room, you know what you do for it? Flip on that light switch. And you know, I caught myself doing that at home when the water went off, didn't have no water in the kitchen, so what got that going back in the turn out? And it really must put you when you're out of water, you can't do nothing. And we found when you come back home, even though that it had some dirt and mud in it, remember how dingy that looked, you couldn't drink it. But you can wash with you can do some other things. We're smaller as we've had to get back here. I know it's not no water. You remember what that rich man said in hell? Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes and see a Abraham afar off and Lazarus deep in the bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now that's 1 drop of water. How much water can you get on your finger? I don't know how many times that I've been out on the farm working and maybe not had any water with me and really get dry and thirsty. You've heard that old saying, the way your bed is bigger than your mouth. What is that saying? I figured that. Thank you. I need help on that. But you think that you're so thirsty, boy, I believe if I had a gallon of water, I could drink it. You really couldn't, but I would never ask for 1 drop. Can you imagine me going over at the house? If everybody got no water over here on the tractor and I'm dying of thirst, bring me 1 drop. That's not what we'd ask for. But I suppose if we were in his circumstances, that water would be the thing that we wanted. And 1 drop, we'd be glad to get 1 drop. There's none. That describes it. Place I don't want to be. And then I noticed another thing, a commodity that we might say is in short supply here on this earth, but there's no supply at all in hell, that's mercy. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I want some mercy. I wonder at this point right here, Jesus telling this story, why Abraham didn't say to him, where was your mercy for Lazarus when he was alive here on earth? Remember him laying out there when you gave? Remember the dogs licking his sores? Remember him starving to death? He was begging for crumbs. Where was your mercy when you had a chance to do something about it? No mercy in hell. They told about this old black man that he got into somebody's chicken house and sold their chickens. And they caught him. And they had him up before the judge, and it looked like he was going to go down the river to the vessel. And he was standing there, and the tears were running down his face, and he was trembling like that. The judge said, Baptist. That's what he called him, but he can't say that no more. But I didn't say that no more. He said, Baptist. He said, don't worry, you're going to get judged. He said, Judge, you make justice out of me. It's mercy. When we stand before the judge, we want mercy. Here he is. He said, have mercy on me. There's no mercy in hell. Too late for mercy. You see that from the story. Things not found in hell, earth, and possessions. Everything that you have worked for, everything that you've accumulated, everything that's dear to you here on this earth, forget it. You don't need it. No, you haul behind the hearse. Either way you go, you're not going to take a thing with you when you leave here. All those things that are dear to us are things that you want. Things that really matter to you here on this earth, you're leaving them all behind. No earthers, no bank accounts, no IRAs, no CDs, no nothing. And now they're all earthly possessions. Now here's a man that was rich. The Bible says about him, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. All these were earthly possessions that he treasured high. But in hell, he don't have any of these things. All this wonderful food, the way that he ate, the way that he lived, all he was, that's gone. No earthly possessions there. It's hard for us to imagine. We accumulate things while we're here on this earth. And to have to do without those things. Now, heaven's altogether a different place. Now, you may have been a very poor person while you're here on this earth, but when you get to heaven, it's going to be the very opposite. You're going to be rich. You're going to be rich beyond your wildest dreams in hell. Hard for us to put that together. In hell, things not found in hell, there's no earthly possession. Here's another thing. You might look at that and say, I don't see where transportation fits in. No transportation in hell. There's no way out of there. You can't say, well, I'll just go down here and catch a Greyhound bus and go home. I don't like it here. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like this darkness. I don't like all these other elements that we've been talking about. I'm leaving. That's it. Can't do that. You can't leave. There's no transportation. There's no bus lines. There's no flights getting out. No personal cars, no way to get anywhere. You got to figure out where you are, not even a bicycle. Can't get out of there. There's no transportation in there. Here was a man that recognized that he couldn't go from where he was, and so he asked Abraham here in the Abraham is God, really. And he said, send Abraham to me. Well, why don't you go to him? He said, we can't because there's a great gulf fixed there, and you can't get across it. There's no way. And it's not going to be possible for him to leave. No transportation. Here's one right here. Visitation. No visitation in this. Now, all of us recognize that Elvis has had a tremendous problem now for several months. And many have been to Elvis's house or been to the hospital or whatever to see Elvis. Visitation. That's because we care. That's because we care. That's what it's about. Visitation. And sometimes visitation is difficult. I don't know how much time that you have spent in nursing homes visiting people that can't help themselves, but sometimes it's really sad. We had a member here, many of folks who he was married, his name is Kermit Runner. And when his wife visited, she preceded him on death. And I would go to the nursing home visit she was always a pleasant person, always smiling. And it wasn't hard to go visit Elizabeth. But when she passed away, Kurt was alone. And he was on his nursing home down on the other side of I-65 on there in Monday. Yeah, he had Greenhaven and something. And I believe he's one of the most miserable people that I ever saw. And he looked forward to somebody coming to him. And I know that the last time that I went out there to see him, just before he passed away, he said, "Don't get me out of here." He said, "I know you've got political connections. I don't know where he got that." But he said, "I'd do anything to get out of here." "I hate this place." He said, "All I want is to go home." And I tell you what, it just broke my heart. And I told Barry, I said, "I hate to go out there and see that man." And Kermit was one of the dearest friends that I had on this earth. But, you know, that's what visitation was about. Jesus tells us we better do it. You know, you got to be, even in jail, you can visit people in jail. If you've ever been down to jail, it ain't a pleasant place to go to visit people. But visitation, he's got five brothers, and they can't visit. He says he's got five brothers still on earth, and they can't even come to visit. And so hell's going to be a place of loneliness. And it's not like you can just get in your car and drive in and see somebody that went that way. It's not going to happen. No disrespect. You're going to be a lonely person if you miss heaven, if you go to hell. No hesitation in this. Number seven, I know you've been waiting on this. I've been jealous about it. No unbelievers in hell. And somebody says, "But there ain't no unbelievers in hell. Ain't that where God's going to send all unbelievers?" Well, he is, and there's a lot of unbelievers. They're atheists, they're agnostics. They're all kinds of people, and that's where God's going to send them. But see, when they get there, they're going to be unbelievers. Is that right, Terry? When they get there, they're going to know. All these people said, "Why didn't they go on from God?" And when they asked me on that moment, and I believed in hell, I was in no. I didn't believe it. Now they believe. Everybody that's there is going to believe now. There ain't going to be no unbelievers in hell. They're going to all be believers. It's going to be too late. It's going to be like the rich man. Can't do nothing about it now because that gulf's been fixed. No light, no water, no mercy, none of these other things. But it's going to, hell's going to have the unbelievers there. They're no longer going to be unbelievers. They're going to be believers now. We got an old saying that we sometimes use. So-and-so made a believer out of me. Hell's going to make a believer out of every atheist that ever lived. And then there's another one right here, and there's no comfort. Y'all don't put it in hell. He said, "I am tormented in this lane. I'm tormented. There's no comfort in hell." Anyway, and let's just put this little anecdote in about comfort. If you've ever been cut tobacco all day long, humidity is out the roof. It's 90-something degrees. You got that old gum all over you. And all the sweat, clothes is dirty. So you got dirt on you. Your back's aching. And you had it for that day. There's one good thing that you look forward to. Going home, getting a good hot shower. Kicking back in that easy chair. Drinking your big cold RC and sitting there. I'd rather be there than any other place in the world. And what a contrast, what a difference it was. And hell, it's not going to be like that. If you're going to get RC in hell, well, you should go down there and kind of sell it. There ain't going to be no comfort in hell. No comfort. Here's a man that would have done anything. He would have given all the things that he owned, these earthly possessions, for just a little comfort, for a drop of water, for a little comfort. No comfort in hell. Every once in a while, Beverly, I'll ask Beverly, I'll say, "Do you sleep good last night?" And she'll say, "I roll and don't." And I know she did, because sometimes she wakes me up. And then she'll get up 4 o'clock. And I know she's not sleeping. She probably tell you that I don't have anything nights so I can't go down and I sleep like a log. But once in a while, something will happen that I don't rest good. And I say, I just couldn't get comfortable last night. But that's a far cry from the comfort that we got up here on the board this morning, last morning. Things not found in hell, Christians. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. I know you're wrong about that one. Wait a minute. There's lots of Christians going to be in hell. No, there's not. They're going to be a woman in hell. Somebody said, how do you know that? Well, see, because the Bible describes what a Christian is. And the Bible describes what a Christian's reward is going to be. That reward's going to be hell. Now, I will say this. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians that's going to be in hell. A lot of people say I'm Christian, but they're not really. There's a lot of people that think that they're Christians that's going to be in hell. But a Christian, as the Bible describes it, there's not going to be a single one, not every one of us, going to go to heaven. As the Bible describes it. Well, what about, I heard Oprah Winfrey say this a year or two ago, I talked about it before. She says that there'll be Muslims in heaven, there'll be Jews in heaven, there'll be Buddhists in heaven, there'll be this and that, there'll be Christians in heaven. Well, Oprah Winfrey don't know what she's talking about. Oprah Winfrey evidently ain't read the Bible much. People that do not believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son are not going to be in heaven. They're going to be in hell. And I know that the Muslims, above all people, they say that they're going to hell. And they've got a description of what hell is going to be like. And I've got a copy of the Quran. And it's some pretty graphic things about what heaven is and about what hell is. And they look at hell a whole lot the same way that we look at hell. But they don't think any Muslim going there. Any true Muslim. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus says this about himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So if you've got a religion that Jesus Christ is not a part of, that's where you don't. That's where you're going. Hell is a real place. It is reserved for the devil and his angels. And it is, I hear people sometimes say, God's going to send you to hell. God's not going to send anybody to hell. No. God is not willing that anybody should perish. He don't want anybody to perish. But I noticed that when the rich man got down there, God didn't reach down and pull him out and say, is that enough? That doesn't have enough. It's everlasting. It's forever. No mercy, no comfort, none of these things. There's a little picture of hell for you. And it's real. Maybe we ought to do this more often. Maybe we ought to let our children know it's a real place. May not be politically correct as the world sees it anymore. Maybe that's the reason that even Church of Christ preachers are not preaching on it like they used to. I'm going to preach on it. People all know that hell is a real thing. It's a real place. I don't know how everything works. I don't know how that can be dark with flames at the same time. There's a lot of things that I don't know about. I guess I know more about it than I do heaven. And I know enough about heaven that I won't go there. And I know enough about hell that I don't want to go there. The only no sign says Warren County. There you are. Do what you will with it. All I'm doing is just presenting the evidence. Just like a lawyer, I'm just presenting the evidence. You can judge. Should there be one here this morning that's outside of Christ? Don't lose your soul. Don't go to hell. God's not willing for your prayers. And you can do something about it right now. Unlike the rich man that can't do anything about it. Well, you can't.